It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow,
bow, bow. Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow. Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
That's a ground ball to third. Bregman, he's been great all night, and it's fitting that he is the one to secure a game one win for the Houston Astros. A little James Harden to boot, a Euro step, and an exclamation point on a victory for the Astros. A 7-2 road win.
There's a lot of hardware down there, you know, Cy Youngs and MVPs and All-Star games and all that stuff, but there's not too many World Series rings down there. I know they're hungry for one, and you know, they have a shot right now.
There's a drive into left field. Is that one going to stay fair? Pierce is watching, and this one is fair and gone. Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall. Can only watch a grand slam. Jackie Bradley Jr., a knockout punch here in the eighth. And a high drive, way back. Jackie Bradley Jr. sends it out of here, and Boston is back on top.
He worked in his craft. He found a few things that he really liked about his swing. Now he understands who he is as a hitter.
How about 9 2-out RBIs in his last 3 games, and the Red Sox are in the lead.
No one's gonna take me.
Runners will be off with a crack in the bat with two outs. Can Will Deals bring them in the air? Left field. Then a safety dive. He makes the catch. Oh, what a play. The 1-2 is deep in the left field. And J.D. Martinez with a home run. Boston strikes first. Red Sox 1-0.
Everyone with hands on. That's what it was going to take in order to beat a great team like Houston.
So now in the air, left field. That is hit well. Got some carry to it. That's going to fly. And this one is gone. Rafael Devers, a three-run blast. It is 4-0 Boston.
Bradley Jr., and he is your ALCS MVP.
Some of the best fans in the world. To be bringing a World Series opportunity back to them and an American League championship back to Boston, I'm sure they're going nuts right now back home.
Everybody, good morning, and that is the situation. The Red Sox go into the World Series.
And the impossible happened. David Price outpitched Justin Verlander in the playoffs for his first postseason win as a starter.
I got a ridiculous amount of tweets yesterday of people who are just now realizing that you and Justin Verlander are doppelgangers.
That I'm a fat Justin Verlander, as they say.
Well, not everyone said that. People,
99% part of said that.
But many people said that you look like Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
And like, how often do you get that?
A lot.
Okay. Yeah.
More
yeah.
than anyone else.
Yep. That was. Yeah. I might have gotten 50 tweets yesterday that you were Justin Verlander's twin.
That's what. That's what's going on. That's what people say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told I look like him more than anyone else. Even more than Brian Posehn, the creepy male guy from
Brian Posehn.
Oh yeah. That was going around. If like one time someone took a picture of me with glasses on, and people said I look like Brian Posehn. Who you can Google, but if you look at him, he gets cast as a mutant in everything he does.
Yeah, I remember he was on Mr. Show, and he was a guy who drove like an unmarked van around schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's always like plays somebody who's up to no good.
Yeah, he was on Just Shoot Me, and his character was a creepy male guy.
right.
Yeah, so that's what he had going on. So you witnessed... And then Kimbrel with a clean inning. Everything came out, fairly clean inning. But everything came out.
As close as you'll get.
Right. Everything came out Red Sox. I thought there was no way they were going to win last night with Verlander versus Price, but there you go.
Well, think about it. I mean, if you were to take all of the players at the beginning of this series and write down, you know, best to worst, like it's like all of the worst players, the ones you expected the least out of, performed the best. I mean, David Price last night, obviously, I mean, that was dominant what he did yesterday. On top of that, you've got the bullpen, which everyone had been saying was going to implode. The entire year we've been looking at that bullpen, and they've been awful. And for the most part, outside of one or two glitches, and of course Kimbrel, they've been excellent. And then you've got guys like Jackie Bradley Jr. Of all the places that you thought you were going to get the offensive firepower from, he's your guy. He's your MVP. He was excellent. And then you got, of course, last night, you know, Devers out there. It was like if you just would have ranked all of the players and who you thought was going to be the most effective, the least, it's the bottom of the list that delivered the most.
Yeah, Mookie hit, what, 205
yep.
in the series?
Yep. I mean, defensively, he was great, 217, obviously.
217, dummy.
Was it 217?
Okay.
You got to get the stats right, man. You got to get the stats.
I thought it was 205. I looked real quick this morning. My mistake.
But you think about it, and if that doesn't say something about this team, just being a quote-unquote team of destiny, that the best players haven't even woken up yet. And with Chris Sale not really even able to pitch, I don't know. It just seems like this is one of those years where they're just destined to win.
They get benefit of calls.
Yep.
Justin Verlander had J.D. Martinez struck out.
That was
a slider on the outside corner for strike three.
And then
the ump missed it. And then on the next pitch, he hits it into the seats for home.
One like you rarely see.
Yep.
I mean, I could have gotten a base hit on that. I mean, that was, So they got the benefit of the doubt of some calls. But nonetheless, there you have it. There it is. All wrapped up in a tiny bow.
Yep. Well, this is going to be fun. So what do we got? Is it tonight?
Tonight.
What time is
Dodgers
the game?
At Milwaukee, and the Dodgers lead 3-2.
All right. Well, the schedule has been released already of the World Series, except for the actual times, but the dates have been released. And game one would be at Fenway Park on Tuesday, and then, of course, Wednesday. And then it would go to Friday, Saturday, Sunday over at either Miller Park or Dodger Stadium. And then back here on Tuesday, October 30th, and you could possibly have a Game 7 on Halloween night at Fenway Park, which would make... What, Bird? You got plans? You got big Halloween plans? He's shaking his head.
No, he doesn't want to work on Halloween. Yeah.
That's an Everett Street party. That's like the epic street party night, is it not?
Yeah, why would you want to work on Halloween?
It's candy and stuff. I get all this free candy. Lasts me the entire year.
Yeah, he does want to work on Halloween. Who does?
No.
Candy and costumes, man.
Candy and costumes. What's better than that?
So by game one, Sale will be completely healed. So you have that going for you.
They got this far with Sale at 30%. I mean, I can't rule this out. It doesn't matter. If Price found himself last night, it doesn't matter.
It does not.
I know. It's kind of funny.
I mean, if David Price figured it out and he said after the game, you know, while he was warming up, to possibly come in and pitch the ninth in game five, he found something. He discovered something in the bullpen, throwing all those pitches, and he carried it over into last night. If he's figured it out, if he found out, and the regular season price is what you're going to get in the two starts he's going to get in the World Series, I give the Sox a good chance against that. I give the Sox a good chance against either of those two teams. But, I mean, Sale's injury doesn't matter all that much. If Eovaldi pitches well and Price figures it out.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that basically, you know, you got Price, you know, doing what he usually does. You got Bradley doing what he usually does. I mean, these guys are coming up big where they usually don't. I mean, at this rate, Sarge is going to win a Marconi.
Uh-huh. You almost beat the record, 609. You missed it by 2 minutes. Oh, 609 is the record. That's the first Sarge call. Although, in fairness, he called in before 609, but yeah, not his fault.
Ian that. Kinsler had two hits last night.
Yeah, let's
doing
not
a booming double into the corner.
let's not start getting into Ian Kinsler being a phenom.
No, it just underlining what the guy said. You're getting hits and stuff from guys you wouldn't ordinarily expect. Kinsler looked like a little leaguer for about 8 straight at bats in there, and then had 2 hits last night.
He definitely did. Mm-hmm. Finishing up with a solid 182 for the series.
That's right. 2 hits, 2 for 4 to raise his average to 182.
And by the way, his OBP. 182.
Yeah. No walks in there.
No, you got to
be
aggressive.
Why would we need any? There's no walks necessary.
You got to get aggressive up there.
All right.
So I don't even know how much there is to talk about. I mean, the team, I mean, there's nothing really controversial that happened last night.
I mean, the only thing that I want this morning, and I know that, like, I need to hear from Dan Roach. I need to.
I know there have been efforts made.
Well, listen, he's busy, and he's obviously out.
Yeah, no, he was out late. He was in the locker room till like 2 in the morning.
I understood, but I saw his face getting sprayed with champagne in just, I mean, the happiest place you could possibly be in last night. And you know that he's like, you know, got to be ecstatic that David Price is finally pitching well. And, you know, he kind of likes to put it back in your face for anyone who would rip on any certain player, although he was very critical of David Price as well. But I need to hear from Dan just today, even if it's not even on the air. I just need to hear his voice, and I need to see that joy, because I don't think there's anybody in this country who's happier outside of someone on the actual team than Dan Roach this morning.
Yeah, but you know, it's a shame that he won't call in.
Well, as I said, he's busy, and I understand it. So we'll
have to figure something else out to do.
Well, we will have Jared Carabas on this morning, which is the second best thing you could get to Dan Roach, as far as someone who is enthralled, I'm sure. And then we've got the Impractical Jokers. That show, I knew it was big. They're playing the TD Garden. They're doing a show at the TD Garden, and we've got one of the Impractical Jokers in studio, like around 9:20. And I know it's funny. It's like you look at their YouTube videos, they have like tens of millions of views for each one of their things. Like, that's one of those shows that under the radar got massive without me even knowing about it.
All right. So we will have all that for you. We'll talk more specifically about what happened last night in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
.985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Richie, history happened last night.
Without a doubt. And what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, 2 bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get 2 for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. David Price dominates Justin Verlander in the postseason, and everything you know is wrong.
Kimbrel deals in the air. Deep left field. Hit well. Benintendi. Will celebrate on the road once again. World Series bound. The fourth trip in the last 15 years.
When Jackie Bradley Jr. is your best hitter, Chris Sale can't even take the mound, and David Price is dominating the playoffs, there is no way this team isn't winning the World Series. The Sox clinch it up with a 4-1 win over the Astros. And when you step back and look at what exactly they've done on their way to get there, the results are astounding. So not only was the team the winningest in Red Sox history, but they also just went 7-2 in the playoffs against two 100-win teams. On top of that, the Sox are undefeated on the road this postseason, outscoring the Yankees and Astros 40-13 in their own parks. That is astounding. And you know when this happens, they are truly a team of destiny when you see this.
Two away in the sixth inning. Can David Price keep it going here? This is a huge story developing. And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price. That is a new career postseason high. Six shutout innings.
He did it. That obnoxious dummy finally did it. A win in the playoffs, and man, was he nails last night. Six shutout innings, three hits, no walks, nine strikeouts. His first postseason victory ever as a starter. Offensively, J.D. Martinez rang one up, but then we got a nice little bow on the game from this guy.
Two Cy Young Award winners in years past, and now in the air, left field. That is hit well, got some carry to it. That's going to fly, and this one is gone! Rafael Devers, a three-run blast. It is 4-0 Boston, and the Crawford boxes come into play. As Devers goes deep, second Boston home run.
So Devers hits a three-run shot because, of course, he did. And that's, of course, how things have been going for this team as of late. And even Kimbrel wasn't a disaster last night. Sure, he walked the guy, but he also struck out two. And that is that. The Sox are headed to the World Series to take on either the Brewers or the Dodgers. Here is David Price on what it feels like to finally win in the postseason.
How good does the win for you? On this stage in these circles?
It feels good. You know, I don't think I'm going to have to answer that question next year in spring training or September 1st when that date comes. I don't have to answer that question now, and that's that feels good.
It feels good. Well,
how many people, by the way, out there wanted Eovaldi to come in and pitch tonight instead of Kimbrel? I had my hand up. I was like, what are you doing? Eovaldi's fine. He doesn't have to pitch again until what? Thursday?
He had to show faith in his closer. I told you yesterday.
He is loyal to a fault, and it works for him. Everybody responds. It's amazing. You know, managers will die on that hill and pay for it. Managers have been fired for being loyal to their guys, you know, and watching them go out and fail. But just about everyone that Cora has showed faith in has come up big. It's amazing.
Well, because if you don't pitch Kimbrel, then what are you going to do? I mean, not that specific game, but if you go into a seven-game series and you don't pitch your closer.
Well, you had a built-in excuse. He threw 36 pitches the previous day. You could have said you could have protected your player by saying that.
I understand that. But chances are you're winning that series. Chances are you're winning that game. What, are you just not going to pitch Kimbrel in the World Series?
You pitch Kimbrel in the World Series, fine. But it's an elimination game. He's been struggling. You can give him 4 or 5 days off.
You have to pitch him.
Of course you do.
You have to pitch him last night.
If you're Cora, you know, I can see why he did it. He's been loyal to his guys all the way along. But Cora's also showed a willingness to go for the kill shot. You throw any pitcher at any time. If you think you have a chance to win a big game, damn what happens tomorrow, throw all your pitchers today, which is why Eovaldi was out there for more than one inning.
Well, let's get to that, because yesterday before the game, there was a discussion about what was wrong with Craig Kimbrel. Let me see. Do I have the clip here? Where's the clip? Here it is. So this is apparently Alex Cora seems to think that hitters know when Kimbrel's curveball has been coming, and that has been the issue. Listen to him being asked about what's going on with Craig Kimbrel here.
Chris is feeling a lot better. I saw him in the morning. He felt that...
This is it right here.
We talk about the breaking ball. There has to be something about the breaking ball that, you know, he's not getting swings and misses with it. And obviously fastball command is not there. But, he's been one of the best in the game. We're going to put guys in situations that can be successful, but we feel that there's a few things, adjustments-wise, that he can make, and hopefully, we got to leave tonight, and he comes in, and he shuts the door, and we go home.
So after that, well, I believe he said to a reporter, they said, there has to be something going on because there's a lot of takes. He said that if you take a look at it, he had Gary Sanchez 0-2, and all of a sudden Sanchez started taking breaking balls. He was talking about, like, you know, how he's been bad ever since, you know, for a while now. And he goes, that was impressive or interesting, to say the least. He mentioned it also that he points basically to pitch tipping, not sign stealing. He said, hopefully our video system's in a good mood. We can find out what's going on and we can fix it. He said, although there's no fastball command, the quality of the breaking balls are good, and they're not offering that. So he seemed to be insinuating that he was tipping that pitch. And maybe that's the case, and maybe he got it fixed before last night, and maybe that's why he had confidence putting him in. Who knows if that's the case. But he does believe that there might be some shenanigans as far as what Kimbrel was doing and giving away his pitch. Now, as far as Chris Sale is concerned, he was asked about his health yesterday.
Chris is feeling a lot better. I saw him in the morning. He felt that he was better than yesterday. Then he came here after 1 o'clock, and he feels good. He threw a flag round today, so he's ready for his next start.
All right. Well, you'll probably see him Tuesday then. He will be your guy on the mound. You would have to think so, unless something drastic changes. And after the game, Jackie Bradley Jr. was awarded the MVP, who, if you would have placed a bet in Vegas before the postseason, the odds of that happening were, I think, at 1 in 8 billion. Here he is afterwards.
They're fanatics. They love their sports. New England, they're big-time supporters. And, you know, when you're not doing your best, they'll let you know about that, too. But I think it comes with the territory. You want to be a part of something great. You want to be winners. You want to be known as winners. And you don't want to accept mediocrity. And, you know, I understand. I feel the same.
It's extremely quiet.
He's got a little Slater to him. He's got a little...
It's not as nasal as Slater.
No, but he's got a little Urkel to him.
It's nasal as Fred's impression of Slater.
So you're saying I'm off?
No, I'm saying
there's no need to mock an impression or like amp it up.
I can't do impressions. All I do is Kirkshin, and that's barely decent.
What I'm saying is Slater absolutely has like a nasally voice, without a doubt.
Seasonal allergies. I mean,
that guy is. There's no need to embellish what he sounds like. That guy, without a doubt, is this man right here.
My allergies start acting up a little bit. I mean,
come on.
Seasonal allergies.
I don't think that you have to play that one
saying,
up.
Crying seasonal allergies.
I mean,
how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar? A victory!
Okay. Everyone loves the sweet nectar of a mead at the Renaissance Fair. Well, you've got the...
Turkey legs for all.
You're making it rain turkey legs, as a matter of fact. So, there you go, John. What time did you go to sleep last night?
12:15.
Now, was it hard for you to get to sleep?
Yeah, it was, actually. It was hard for me to get to sleep.
Because you were so jazzed up?
No, it was hard for me to get to sleep because I looked at the clock and said, okay, if I go to sleep right this second, I get 4 hours. And whenever you do that, you never go right to sleep.
That's true.
Yeah. Sleep math. It's the worst.
It's awful.
That's
what happened to me last night.
How often have you woken up in the middle of the night and had to do sleep math?
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. Anyone who works this shift has that happen to them. See, it's not just a show. You talk to anyone.
I have to count on my fingers, too. Yeah.
That's the thing, because you know that, oh, my God, because I'm only going to get 4 hours of sleep max. I got to make sure that I'm up and you put the alarm loud. And then you wake up at 2 a.m. Like, you sleep for 2 hours. Like, okay. Oh, my God, that sucks. All right. Good.
The worst is like getting up a half an hour before you have to.
Yeah.
And you think that you
because
got
that
like 3 hours.
Alarm clock goes off. You're like, oh, is it too late? I can't go back to sleep.
Yeah,
so.
And you think you have like 3 hours of sleep left, but it's only a half an hour.
Correct.
Oh,
that happens a lot. Yep.
I have like 2 alarms in my room, like they're booby traps. Like one of them, I have to like walk all the way to the other side of the room to turn it off. And there's one like it's by my head.
I have two too. I have 2 alarms, and the first one I turn off when it goes off in anticipation of the second one. And they're set to the same time, but for some reason, during the course of the evening, they something happens with the North Pole or something that gets them all off time. And then I got Lockhart who calls, but thankfully, now that we've moved, I'm in the car every time he calls.
But he always calls. He always calls.
He does call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've been in there holding a discussion with him in the other room. You know, just a brief discussion because I'm in there doing something. And I'm like, hold on 1 second. And he picks up the phone and calls you.
Yep.
Because he knows his time.
And I say, thank you for calling me.
Yep.
And then he goes, no problem. And then it all ends. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll have the headlines. We'll continue to talk about what happened last night. The Red Sox going to the World Series.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
He's our 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring 3 title bouts, headlined by Demetrius Andrade. Right, Wallach?
Andre,
this Saturday at the TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office. Mike, hello.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
So, going back to game four of the interference call, Joe West made the right call by calling that interference, and I know why. if you take a still shot of when Mookie was jumping into the stands, the guy in the white shirt and the guy right next to him were up against the wall, reaching out over the fence. No one sees that. Everyone's talking about Mookie's glove getting hit, but they were actually reaching out over to the over into the field.
Okay.
That's what the interference call was actually made. I know you guys were talking about how you guys didn't really have much to talk about this morning because we clinched it, but there's maybe a talking point.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
I know, dude, because Bird put Sarge.
I thought it was going to be a Sarge call.
I thought it was coming.
Yeah. I was like, I'll sit through somebody talking about news from 3 days, you know, 2 days ago. I was like, I'll sit through that as long as it's got the payoff. Oh, what a disappointment
I know,
there.
I didn't have a Sarge.
Right. It's almost like if your call stinks, you can redeem yourself immediately.
I got news for you, though. This is going to pay off for you because now that you've brought this up, I have a feeling we'll have some more bids before 7 o'clock.
No, that being said, I don't want people to do it.
I know.
Well, you don't want it to be just a sea of Sarge calls.
No.
You know, when they come in and you say that, and by the way, not having a lot to talk about is up to the audience. I mean,
there's
my point of saying there's not a lot to talk about is that everything went right.
Yeah, there's not a lot to complain about. Like, as we were saying, the bottom of the barrel of this team all performed excellent. And that just says that if you've got that going for you and a lot of your better players have yet to really show their stuff, this is going to be a really interesting World Series.
Well, and also I would say to David Price, don't count your chickens before they're hatched because he's already saying that you can't ask me the question anymore. We'll see how you pitch in the World Series. Because if you screw up in the World Series,
so if he goes out and gets bombed in game two.
That did seem a little.
The narrative kind of swings back the other way.
When he said that, I was like, you know, maybe you don't say that.
Yeah, don't say it out loud.
Yeah. right.
If you go out in game two in the World Series. But Dan made a good point. Do you pitch Eovaldi in game one? And then give Sale all that time?
Well, it depends on his health. If Sale's even remotely healthy, and again, he's got 5 days to get healthy. If Sale is even remotely healthy, he's going to pitch game one, much like Craig Kimbrell is going to come in a save situation. It's Cora being loyal. So Sale's been his ace all the way along. If he can go out there and pitch in any way, shape, or form, it's Sale in game one.
Well, but would you give him that extra time?
I think he was going to pitch tomorrow. So I think he's good to go for game one.
Well, I mean if you wanted to be creative, you could pitch Eovaldi and give Sale more rest.
Sure. Or you could pitch Price in game one on his turn. It's 5 days off from last night to Tuesday.
All right.
So what's your ideal rotation?
I think my ideal rotation would be to have Sale pitch game three. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you would have Eovaldi, Price.
That would be 11 days
or Price,
rest?
Eovaldi, whatever. Price and Eovaldi,
11 days rest if you pitch
you
game
give,
three.
No, Fred's right. Fred's right. Sale is clearly not 100%. He's clearly not 50%. And on top of that, he just got sick. So he's lost weight. He's weak. And he had a weak shoulder to start with. You give him as many days as you can before you start him again.
Yeah,
but that's not going to happen. Sales pitching game one Tuesday.
And Eovaldi's been electric.
Yes.
And so you could do that. That's what I would do too, John.
Yeah, I would pitch Sale a week from today.
That's exactly what I would do too, but he's not going to
do that. No, he's not.
You had to pitch Kimbrel yesterday because you had to ride him because there's no way you could get through the World Series without having a guy
Saying just demote him from the closers.
No. But I'm making a point here. But I don't think by not starting Sale in game one that you're somehow insulting the guy.
I think it's you stand on ceremony in this case. Sale's been your ace your entire year. He was a big part of the reason why he won 108 games. He was on his way. He was started the All-Star game, and then in typical Sale fashion, he faded in the second half and got hurt. But he's your guy. As far as Cora is concerned, he'll start game one.
All right, Craig. Craig, C-R-E-G. Craig, Craig, go ahead.
Nailed it, Bird, as always. Hey, up? Guys, hey.
Hey.
Sarge stinks, he ruined the radio.
Now they're not even being clever.
No.
I did see this, however, last night, Fred. Dennis Eckersley last night was on Twitter, and he tweeted out, the Red Sox showed who was the best team in the AL, and now it's time to show who was the best team in baseball. Congratulations. And then about 30 minutes later, he tweeted, oh, and it's time to party.
Oh, yeah. Just shaking up Bush Lights, spraying them around the ladies. Come on.
I mean, just
open up the ashtray to the old in the old Camaro. I got a little lady, Mary Jane, in there.
Just imagine him lowering the shades and go, what do you say? Just getting done buffing down the Camaro?
Yeah, just, like, first stop's the car wash because she's got to look nice if we're cruising. I wonder if he still cruises.
Where would he cruise?
To Dairy Queen, and then he like
past the Arsenal Mall on his way to Nesson.
And he just opens up the hood and stands there. Did you guys have that when you were kids?
What's that?
Like Heschers that would like go to Taco Bell and park.
Oh, yeah.
Like on diagonals and open up their hoods.
Oh, yeah. There was a...
And stand there and be like...
There was a street that on Sundays they took over where it was just a loop. And people would just cruise and sit in the back of trucks and go about like 5 to 10 miles per hour. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the highlight of it is if you had a muscle car with that, you would park it and pop the hood.
Oh, sure.
And then kind of just sit there with, like, your elbow on it.
Yeah, it stays confused.
If you really wanted to see the show, you had to go to Revere Beach when I was a kid. That's where it all
happened. Well, we had M59 where you raced. And everyone... I told you I had a friend who rented a thing to drop an engine in his car. And it just sat there for a month. I'm like, you don't know how the hell to do that. You're going to put an engine in a car? You moron. How the hell are you going to hook everything up? He smoked unfiltered Pall Malls and went to jail.
Is that the car that like had a cover on it at the end of his mom and dad's driveway for a couple of months? Is that what that was?
Yeah, he bought like a frame of a car and thought that he was going to build it.
Yeah.
And then instead he just did heroin. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Not much to complain about, but a little controversy I thought after the game. John Henry and Tom Warner were nowhere to be found at the podium. They weren't in the stands. That was a little strange. Maybe they were at Dodger's basement hanging out with the life-size cutout of Macho Man Randy Savage.
Were they with Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Take me to Kalu. Yes. I wish to see Bruno Sammartino.
Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox.
It's still one of the all-time greatest sound bites ever.
Andy Wong, you're the best. Send me, please, Ken Patera.
What?
Ken Patera. The strongest man in wrestling.
John Henry, I don't even
gorgeous
know.
Gorgeous George.
Okay. why weren't you more front and center on the broadcast last night?
I don't like water or any liquid spraying.
Why?
It'll melt? It burns my skin.
It sounds like...
My paper-thin skin. Ah, that popping sound. Sounds like when I was a sickly boy and the neighborhood children would light black cats under my bed. What's going on? Fire? I'm deathly afraid of fire.
What's going on? Fire?
Yeah, that's why you probably... It gets so confusing. The celebration. We will be back. We will...
We're in the sun here.
That is the quintessential John Henry soundbite right there.
I mean, that is fantastic.
Chiefs, do something about this marble in the sky, this burning ember. Take care of it.
We're in the sun here.
Someone get me an umbrella.
Move our spring training to Winnipeg. There's far too much sun here in Florida.
He's one of those guys that like wears like long sleeve shirts when it's 100 degrees outside.
Oh, that's not even kidding around. That's true.
Yeah, like Panama jackets.
That happens all the time. Yeah.
All right. So we will be back. We'll continue. to take your calls and talk about Calhoun and everything else that's going on.
98.5, the Sports Hub. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can
die. Happy! That's a good point, actually, someone made on the phone, because Dan's watching it right now in the other room, and I didn't think about it. Dan, are you... John Henry and Tom Warner.
It's Cora, obviously, and Dombrowski. I think Sam Kennedy is in the shot, too. But
yeah, I see Sam Kennedy last night.
Three of them are there. There's no ownership representation at all. And all the players are in front of them.
I mean, that's interesting, because I know that usually they like to be front and center during all of that.
You think?
Yeah, that is strange.
I had a run-in with ZZ Top.
What?
Yes.
Down in Houston. Yes, they're big down there, yes.
I don't care for that Billy Gibbons. He threatened me with his tube snake.
Well, Kevin, he's got a boogie that he does with the tube snake.
Tube snake?
Tube snake boogie.
I don't like snakes.
I don't think he's talking about an actual snake there, if you know what I mean.
No, he's talking about his penis.
Yes, pretty much.
I cracked the code.
There would be literal ZZ Top.
Hey, tonight, and I got my penis. Hey, everybody.
She likes to boogie. She likes to have sex. That's if she's interpreting.
Having sex. Look what's in my pants. It's a penis used for sex.
That's their follow-up single to this. Look what's in my pants.
Wee-wee. Goes into Fifi. Make the sex.
All right.
Call number 10 right now. The Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring three title bouts headlined by Demetrius Andrade this Saturday at the TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office.
I do find that weird as hell. That is weird. Oh, line two? All right. Well, maybe we should just take this. Well, why not?
All right. Rock and Roll Mike, hello.
Yeah, what's going on?
How's it going, Rock and Roll Mike?
All right, I got a song.
Okay, you have a song?
Yeah, I got another song, man.
All right,
Which dumpster or alleyway?
Which dumpster or alleyway?
Yeah.
All right, so you had hot balls.
It's cool.
All right, now this is dumpsters and alleyways?
Yeah. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Which dumpsters or alleyways? I'm going to... Hey, yeah.
Hey, Rock and Roll Mike, can you give us like something World Series? Listen, all it is about the World Series this morning. I'm excited. This is a big morning. As much as I would love to hear a song called Dumpsters and Alleyways, do you have anything baseball related?
Baseball related, yeah, hot balls.
All right, let's hear.
Might as well do hot balls.
Song.
Let's do it.
Come on, hot balls. Hey, what's going on? John Walk, everybody.
That song had one line.
Yeah.
It's not even a line.
He's trying to get you to see his live show. He's not going to dump it all on you.
Well, the live show disappeared from Fenway Park.
Granny wants a cookie.
Granny wants some cookie and a nookie.
So this is about gilfs?
Granny wants some cookie. Granny wants some nookie. Yeah! What's going on?
Not your own granny. That would be awful.
No, it's the geriatric bookie.
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on?
All right.
You've asked us that. What's going on is that we are, of all the times where you could be making a lot of money, all the Red Sox fans are excited. I mean, it's a big deal. They're in the World Series, and you moved from Fenway Park. Why can't we get you back there to perform such hits as hot balls for the people?
I know. I understand that the fans miss me, but
I'm just trying to work on my album, man.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to do what I gotta do.
I will say Granny wants a cookie. Granny wants some nookie. That's your hit. That's
Chinese
the one.
Chinese democracy. Like, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Okay.
All right.
And
thank
I miss
you, Rock
the fans.
Well, they miss you too.
They miss you too.
Granny wants a cookie. Grammy wants some nookie.
That's not bad. I have to admit, that is fairly hooky.
Right, but hot balls has seemed to degenerated into just the words hot balls.
Yeah, just of all the things and all the times he could have made a ton of money, is out at Fenway where he used to be. Of all the seasons to not go out and be in your own stomping grounds, I can understand. No.
Well, I mean, he's been in dumpsters and alleyways. Will, go ahead.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey,
not sure
up?
I can follow that up. Wanted to touch on Kimbrel real quick. I know everyone's been kind of scared recently about Kimbrel getting on the mound. I have been. Kimbrel's probably been scared about Kimbrel getting up there. But wanted to say last night I was pretty happy they put him in. I don't think it's a question of the coaching staff loyalty to him. I think it's that if they didn't put him in, they're kind of losing him mentally for the rest of the series or the series going forward. My question for you guys would be that if the series was tighter, let's say 3-2 or 3-3, you know, would you still want to see Kimbrel come in last night as a closer?
No.
Yes.
Not 3-3. No way.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
You have
Coral would have done it. It's my opinion. I would have wanted to see Eovaldi finish if that was the case. If Eovaldi pitched the eighth inning and was great and gotten four outs and the series was even at three games apiece, game seven, you want Craig Kimbrel closing down a 4-1 game? Absolutely not.
You have to ride Kimbrel.
I would have had Eovaldi finish.
You do maybe yesterday. You don't in a game seven. I would do it in game seven.
Nope.
You have a Hall of Fame closer. Just because, you know, he's been...
He has been a Hall of Fame closer who has struggled worse than we've seen him struggle the entire time he's been with the Red Sox.
Well, last night he would have rewarded you.
And I don't think so. I'm not convinced of that.
So you wouldn't pitch him in the World Series?
I wouldn't pitch him in a game seven.
Well,
and as I said before, in this situation, in
so
the
you pitch
League,
him in a game four, but not. No, I will not hold on. I will not hold on, John.
Go ahead, finish.
So you would pitch him in a game four, but not a game seven.
In this situation that the caller brought up, no, I would not have.
Okay, so it's not important to win game four.
It's important to win game four. But there's more margin for error in Game 4 than there is for Game 7. If he stinks in Game 4, you have more games to play. If he stinks in Game 7, you don't.
I don't understand why you would use him in one particular game.
I'm about to explain it to you.
Okay.
Before you cut me off, my answer was...
Go ahead.
You have Kimbrel...
Say it!
Meow.
You have beating around the bush.
All right, fine. That's the way you're going to be, Frederick. I'm just going to stop.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. Say it.
Kimbrel would have had 4 or 5 days to work on his mechanics, throw a bullpen. He would have had time to get away from things and figure out what's wrong with him. You wouldn't have lost him for the series. You would have put him right back in the World Series because there was a gap there to figure out what was wrong.
You don't need 3 or 4 days to work on your mechanics.
I think it served David Price well. I think it would serve Craig Kimbrel well. I have no trouble with not pitching Craig Kimbrel in a Game 7 situation against the Houston Astros. If you have a Eovaldi
finish...
Well,
then you've lost him for the World Series.
I think he's been in the league long enough where you wouldn't have lost him mentally.
Well, the reason you wouldn't pitch him is because you think you've lost him mentally.
No, I think the reason I wouldn't have pitched him is because he's getting his ass beat. Because he was getting hit hard.
All right, you're all over the
place.
This article is
pretty much dead on point here.
that was a terrible argument.
Well, after Wallach's headlines, this is interesting because, I mean, this article that came out where that Alex Cora seems to think that he is tipping his pitches.
By what? He just by laying there for 5 hours?
It's the way the arm swings. You get two swings, it's a fastball.
Yeah, I don't know how he's tipping his pitches, just standing there like an idiot.
Yeah, but Alex Cora seems to think that's the case.
He cocks the arm.
Yes.
It gives away the breaking ball. I wonder when he developed that. Like someone's like, woo, he's mean.
There's got to be, like some coach said, it's all about how you set up. It's all about how you gather yourself.
Or how you intimidate.
Yes.
Like, and then you get to the major leagues and people are like, what the hell are you doing?
He'll fix your arm slot if you hold your arm up this way.
Yes, indeed. Meanwhile, I got to face Chris Sale if I'm a lefty and it looks like the ball's coming right out of my head every time that he throws. But I'm afraid of Craig Kimbrel. All right, here are the headlines from John. Maybe you'll get to the Town Fair Tire Studio.